Hello, good morning, and welcome into our continuing coverage of the NFL Draft here on Sports Radio 810. My name's Josh Briscoe, and over these last 3 days, really over these last 2 days, we'll talk about Frank Clark later, though, we have seen the Kansas City Chiefs add a bunch of elements to their team going into the 2019 offseason. And this morning, we're going to talk about some of the things you've heard or maybe the things you've missed over these last couple of days to make sure you're getting full coverage of everything that the Chiefs have done to improve their team throughout the draft this year. To start off this morning, I want to make sure that you're familiar with the guys that the Chiefs took early on. Those Friday evening picks are the three guys that you have to expect will influence the immediate future of this team the most, and at least two of them, the first two of them, are guys with very clear paths to playing time. The first pick was obviously Mecole Hardman, the wide receiver out of Georgia, Juan Thornhill, the safety out of Virginia, and then Kalen Saunders is the defensive tackle who is doing backflips and was playing running back in college. And I want you to get a chance to hear from those three guys firsthand before we let you hear from Brett Veach on Friday, from Andy Reid on Friday. We'll get to Saturday's action later on, but first and foremost, I want to make sure that you get a chance to hear from these three guys, starting off with the Chiefs' first pick and the first guy that spoke on Friday evening, new Chiefs wide receiver and absolute speed demon, Mecole Hardman.
Hey, Mecole, how much conversations did you have with the Chiefs before, during the pre-draft process, and how likely did you think this could be an outcome for you?
I had some communication with him pre-draft, and I had a visit with him during the combine. So I think they were interested in me, and I know it was possible for them to get me in this draft, but he took me, so I'm happy for that.
Mecole, what were those conversations like that you guys had at the combine, that you had with the combine with the Chiefs?
It was a great conversation. They were just asking, about my deep play ability, special teams was in the conversation, and about my character, and about me as a person. So it was really all, good talk. And I think they, I shined a light with them, and they liked what they heard. So.
And Mecole, it's not every day that a wide receiver gets picked to the team that has the reigning MVP quarterback. Just how much have you, in this short time, thought about connecting with Patrick Mahomes and obviously being his teammate?
Oh, man. Seeing people who play, watching him play over the days he did, I think any receiver would be lucky to, to be on the same field with him and, catch passes with him. And I think I'm grateful to be in that situation, and I'm looking forward to him ready to get to work with him and, get the chemistry going and hopefully get some good things in the future.
From just a playing standpoint, an on-field standpoint, how much do you feel like your skills are similar to what Tyreek Hill was able to do? And did you watch film of him at all or model your game after him?
Tyreek is a great player. Some people really can't do it, but we got similar traits for sure. But right now I'm just trying to develop my game a little bit more, trying to be my own play, so people can, try to buy the game out to me. So that's where I'm at right now.
Nicole, how's it going? Congratulations. I was just wondering, you have this blazing speed. In your own opinion, where do you think that came from?
It's a family thing. I'm definitely giving it down for it. My family comes from speed. They got a lot of track athletes in my family, a lot of football athletes. So that just trickled down. I just got that gift, just worked on it, coming through high school with track and things like that and improved on it. So.
You mean it's like your father and your grandfather, so on and so forth?
Yeah, my dad, my uncle and my mom was out here. Everybody had the speed. So.
And then just what do you think that Andy Reid can do for your development now as a pro?
I think he can give me where I need to be. I think he can get me to the level I need to be at, to be the best player I can be. And I trust him and his staff, and it's ready to get going.
Is there a receiver in the league that you really pattern yourself after that you want to emulate?
I think it's plenty of receivers that you can want to be like, because there's a lot of great receivers in the league. But I think ultimately you just want to, try to be on their level and just get your name mentioned with those kind of guys. I can't think about it off the top of my head right now.
I'm sure you've been asked this before, but what was the transition like going from defensive back to wide receiver, and was there anything in that transition that helped you play so well at Georgia?
Yeah, I don't think it was too hard. I think it's more learning how to be a receiver, you know, how to read routes, you know, how to, you know, beat coverage, or, you know, how to stem. I think it's like the hardest thing, but I think from DB, you know, learning, you know, what a DB thinks, what a DB want to do, you know, what you want to take away from receiver, you know, you in a game, you can see a DB leverage. I think you can, you know, kind of see what he's trying to take away from you and, you know, where he's helping. So I think just being a DB helps you as a receiver to know what a DB's thinking, you know, trying to get in their head and kind of understand the defensive scheme a little bit better because you've been on the defensive side. So that part definitely helped me.
Where would you say that you're most comfortable playing? Is inside, outside, slot? I mean, is there any specific lineup that you enjoy the most?
I'm in Georgia and kind of playing slot, so that's what I'm most comfortable at, you know, just because I played it a lot. But I feel like I can play outside just as much like I play inside. And I think I can definitely transition to the outside as well.
Hey, McColl, one more thing. I'm sure you've been aware that some of your old tweets from 2012 to 2016 have been circulating on Twitter. Is that something that the Chiefs have talked to you about, or have you learned anything from any of those things that were circulated or that you tweeted?
That's a long time ago. That's probably immature of me at the time, but, you know, two things like that. You know, that's my fault for doing that. I came home with respect, so that's not who I am today. And that's a very immature decision on my part to even tweet a thing like that. And, but yeah, but that's definitely how I am right there today. You know, so I just gotta, you know, live that decision that I made and just move forward from it. But that, like I said, was a long time ago, and it was an immature decision on me to even tweet something like that.
That's new Chiefs receiver McColl Hardman as he was introduced to the media back on Friday night after the Chiefs made him their first selection of the 2019 draft with the 56th overall pick. I mentioned earlier that Hardman has a very clear path to playing time. It seems like he will be playing no matter what, but obviously with everything with Tyreek Hill, you now see, oh yes, Hardman will be penciled in day one. At least that's where he is in sort of my read of how this team's going to end up playing out. Obviously, we have to earn playing time throughout camp and whatnot. But maybe even clearer a path to playing time lies in front of the Chiefs' second pick, Juan Thornhill. The extremely versatile safety out of Virginia was the pick at 63. Here's what he had to say to the media on Friday night.
Hey, Juan, congratulations on getting selected. What were your first thoughts when you heard that you were going to Kansas City?
Oh, I was really excited, honestly. I was a little worried about it because, like, I felt like I had the potential to possibly go first round, but I had to wait a little bit longer. And when they gave me that call, I was really excited just to be able to get there and ready to play football because with me, the only thing I need is the opportunity. And with this opportunity, I'm going to take full advantage of
it. I know you probably haven't had a chance to talk much with Steve Spagnuolo at this point, but from the conversations you've had with the Chiefs, how do they kind of see you fitting into this new defense?
Honestly, I'm not really sure what Coach wants me to do, but whatever Coach asks me to do, I'll definitely step in. If he wanted me to be the kicker, I'll be the kicker. So I'm very versatile. I can play multiple positions. So if you see me at cornerback, I'll step in and play that. If you want me to play safety, I'll step in and play safety. So I'm willing to play whatever Coach wants me to do.
Speak to that versatility. How well has that served you in college?
Oh, it helped me out a lot. With me having an opportunity to play both positions, it helped me out a whole bunch, especially when I played cornerback and was able to move back to safety. And when I moved back to safety, it helped me out a whole lot having that corner experience and that corner background because it allowed me to cover and make more plays on the ball.
Hey, Juan, did you visit the Chiefs as part of a pre-draft visit?
No, I really didn't at all. And I was really surprised with this pick, honestly. I was just waiting for my name to get called, and I finally had the opportunity, and they gave me that call. And I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go and be in Kansas City.
I guess maybe a better way of asking is, did you guys talk at all at the combine or any time previously before tonight?
Yes, I actually had a visit with them. I was in the meeting room talking to them a little bit. I had a chance to talk to Coach Reed and everything. And it was a great conversation. And we talked ball. And I feel like everything went pretty well. And I knew that there was a chance that I could possibly ball there. But I didn't think the chances were very high, but I'm definitely happy to be there.
Reports have come in, your football instincts are pretty good. Where do you think you developed that trait of being able to read wide receivers, quarterbacks, so on and so forth? Who do you owe the most for that?
Okay, with that, honestly, the reason I feel like I read things really well is because in high school I played quarterback, and most of the time I can tell what quarterbacks are thinking just because I have the quarterback background and everything like that. So it was that definitely helped me out a lot, and just being able to see the quarterback eyes and play on the ball.
Do you find that ex-quarterbacks have a little bit of an advantage just given the fact that you've seen the game from the other side of the thing?
Can you say that again?
How much of an advantage do you feel it gives you just having seen the game from the other side of things?
I think it gives me a good advantage because, like, with me, if the ball is an egg, just gives me a great opportunity to play the ball. And with me being on the other side of the ball, it scares quarterbacks to put the ball in the air. So I feel like it gives me a great advantage.
You know, Juan, some players will say that they appreciate being at one position and having one responsibility within the entirety of the defense, and some guys will like to bounce around and move around. Where do you fall in line with that, and how much of your versatility did you sort of enhance or try to play into at Virginia?
Like I said before, I really don't care where I play. I just want to be on the field. Wherever coach wants me to play, I'll be willing to play cornerback, safety, tackle. It really doesn't matter. So with me, I just want an opportunity to step on the field and look for opportunity to help the team win.
Last thing, well, Juan, for me, how much do you know about Kansas City? What do you know about Kansas City?
Honestly, I really didn't watch too much Kansas City football. I see that they just got the Hunter Badger, and that was a guy that I actually used to watch playing when he was at LSU. I used to watch him a lot, and used to idle my game after him a little bit just because I like how he carried himself on the field and everything. So that's pretty much all I really know, but I'm excited to learn more about the football history there, and I'm excited to be there and to be a Chief.
What do you imagine that meeting will be with him for the first time, given that you've kind of watched him from afar for so long?
It's going to be unbelievable, honestly. Just getting the opportunity to play beside someone that's just like that is an amazing feeling.
That's new Chief Safety Juan Thornhill with his first words to the media of Kansas City back on Friday night out at Arrowhead. The third pick of the second day of the draft, the Chiefs' third pick altogether, probably had the most fun conversation out of any of the three. Colin Saunders, the defensive tackle out of Western Illinois, the back-flipping wonder who played, when he found out in this audio clip, everyone was reminded that he played running back in college. We've since seen some of those highlights, and they're incredible. This dude is super athletic, and even as the 84th pick, and even looking at a defensive line that's pretty stacked right now, I think the Chiefs believe that he has a pretty clear path to playing time as well. More rotationally, perhaps, than Hardman or Thornhill, but we'll hear from Brett Veach later on, and he spoke glowingly about Saunders, and he said that all three of the picks here were rated as high second-rounders for the Chiefs. So here's Colin Saunders with his introduction to the Chiefs media on Friday night.
Hey, Colin, congrats on being selected tonight. Did you have any idea that the Chiefs were targeting you and that they were interested in drafting you before they made their pick tonight?
No, I mean, actually, no, they did show a little bit of interest, but, you know, I didn't go on a visit or anything to them. And, you know, so I didn't, like, completely know if they were targeting me or anything. But, it was a surprise to me, and I'm just happy to be here.
Did you do a backflip?
No, I was holding my daughter, so I don't think that would have been the safest thing to do.
Hey, so how did that the backflip video that went viral? How did that help your profile, your attention?
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, kind of showed athleticism, and you know, my frame is not really supposed to be able to flip like that. So I think it just kind of got a little publicity from you know, showing athleticism and showing that I'm a little bit unique from that average defensive lineman.
Colin, what do you feel is just going to be the biggest challenge for you coming from FCS level and making the jump up to the NFL?
Well, I mean, not necessarily FCS. You know, I honestly feel like, you know, I play really good competition, but I think just in general, any college player adjusting to the NFL, you know, it no matter if you come from the best school in the country or FCS level, you never play NFL football. So, you know, I think all of us have something to adjust. And I think that my biggest thing is just, along with everyone else, is adjusting to the pace of play and learning to use my techniques better than I ever have before.
Colin, when you think of the Kansas City Chiefs, what comes to mind right away?
Well, first of all, my favorite color is red. So, you know, I'm just really excited to be wearing that. I actually wore red in high school. So, you know, I'm just real excited to get back to that. And then, secondly, it's just my hometown, man. I'm a St. Louis, Missouri kid. And, you know, this is the best thing I can experience, is playing in Missouri still. You know, I'm just right across the state. So, this is a dream come true.
How much more excited do you think that fact made it for your family members?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were screaming and hollering, and, you know, they were just happy that, you know, I mean, they were going to be happy regardless of where I went, but it makes it even sweeter that I'm just across the state. And I know my fan base and my family is going to travel real well, so I'm excited about that.
Anything else?
What do you feel like is the one thing that you need to work on the most?
Definitely, like, just technique work. You know, like, I definitely feel like I'm an above-average athlete for my size. And you know, technique is just something you can constantly get better at. And so, you know, I look forward to working with the veterans and guys that have been there before. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm a sponge when it comes to learning and soaking up stuff. And I just can't wait to get with the guys that know what they're doing and they have them teach me the ways and how to be successful at this next level.
Hey, and Colin, I believe you played in, was it the Senior Bowl or one of the All-Star games when your daughter was born at that time, right?
Yes, sir.
So how was you know, how tough was that that decision to, you know, to play in that game with such a big life event happening?
It was tough. You know, it was a tough one to have to be made, but you know, my wife and I, you know, we just decided that it was the best move for me at that time. You know, I didn't, you know, it wasn't like I'll always say to this day, it wasn't an either or decision. You know, it wasn't like I'm picking this game over my daughter's birth or anything like that. I always say it was a cause and effect. You know, I'm having a child, I'm having a daughter, and, you know, I want to provide for her. I want to be the best father that I can be. And in doing that, you know, the NFL is one of the best jobs you can have. I mean, being a professional athlete, you know, there's not much I would need for. So, you know, it was just one of those decisions that me and my wife made, that I want to stay there and earn some respect, earn some notoriety, and, you know, just kind of make a name for myself. And ultimately, I think it was the best decision I could have possibly made, because, you know, it did nothing but help me from staying in practice to the game to everything. It did nothing but help me.
I read you were a Seattle Seahawks fan. Does that mean you're also a Frank Clark fan?
Yes, sir. I did when I was in high school. You know, I was playing running back, so I definitely was a fan of Ashon Lynch. And you know, so that was kind of where that fandom came. But definitely Frank Clark, he's special, man. He's a force coming off the edge.
I gotta ask, what part of St. Louis are you from?
Oh, inner city, man. I'm talking right in the heart.
Nice.
You know, right off of, what'd you say?
What high school did you go to there?
Well, I went to Parkway Central, actually. So Parkway Central is out in Chesterfield, Missouri. However, I lived in, currently I live in Walnut Park, which is, like, you know, off of, like, West Forest and Riverview area.
Colin, did you say you played running back in high school?
Yes, ma'am, I did. I played running back from about sixth grade to when I graduated.
So when did you officially switch full-time to defensive line? Was that not fully until college? You must have been one of the biggest running backs out there.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. I was like 285 pounds playing running back. I played both sides of the ball. So I played defensive line and running back pretty much from, like, when I was a freshman to when I graduated, and then I was getting recruited as a defensive lineman. So I ended up just going full-time D-line in college, and, you know, it worked out for the better.
We've seen so many of your athletic abilities, both on the field and just in general, and obviously the high school story. Is there anything physically, athletically that you feel like you can't do, or how much joy do you get impressing friends, just random observers, about how freakish you are as an athlete?
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm confident that I can do anything that's asked of me, especially if it's on the football field. And then, yeah, like you said, you know, all my life, kind of just random people, or, you know, like if I do a backflip in the park and people see it, it's just like, how did they ask, you know, how much I weigh and all that type of stuff. And I'll just always kind of surprise people with that ability. So, you know, I wouldn't even say that flipping or tumbling is an athletic ability of mine. It is. It requires a little bit of athleticism, but it's more so just about reps, you know, just like anything. Once you learn how to do it, you just never forget how to do it. So, you know, that's just something that I stuck with when I was real small and I just got bigger.
You know, hearing the stories you're talking about and with your daughter, it sounds like you're a pretty tender, lighthearted guy off the field, but looking at your film, you just wreak havoc out of there. How do you flip that? How do you flip that switch?
I mean, hey, it's football. You know, it's I've been playing I'm obviously not an NFL vet or anything like that, but as far as playing for the time I could, you know, I've been playing since really early, and you know, it's just one of those things that you got to realize early. You know, either you're made for it or you're not, and from early on, you know, I was always, you know, one of the bigger and stronger guys, but I've even ran into guys that were smaller than me, and they was just like, you know, they were aggressive, and not necessarily to me, like, I can still get my job done, but, you know, I would see that, like, size didn't matter, and that just fueled me early on, you know. So, you know, like you said, you know, I'm tenderhearted as they come, but on the field, you know, and then another thing is that, you know, I'm provided for her. So I look at it as whoever's in front of me is trying to take food and clothes off my daughter's back and food out my daughter's mouth, and I can't have that. So that's what will flip that switch.
That's Colin Saunders, the new Chiefs defensive tackle out of Western Illinois. You'll hear more about why the Chiefs targeted all three of those guys you heard here. The first three picks for the Chiefs all happening on Friday, of course. Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, and Colin Saunders. Whenever we come back, we'll hear from Brett Veach and Andy Reid soon as well, because those guys give you a little bit of a glimpse into why it was that Hardman, Thornhill, and Saunders were all such clear picks for the Chiefs, why they traded up for Hardman, why they took Saunders, even as they have a pretty decent defensive line already. So whenever we come back here on Sports Radio 810, we'll hear from Brett Veach, and we'll talk again just about the Friday picks for the time being before we expand what they did on Saturday. Whenever we come back, though, Brett Veach, the GM of the Chiefs, will speak about Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, and Colin Saunders. That's next on Sports Radio 810. Welcome back to Sports Radio 810, our continued coverage of the NFL Draft, which was completed yesterday. But today, we want to bring you some of the things you may have missed. And we started off by letting you hear from all three of the Chiefs' top draft picks. And so before we get to the stuff from yesterday earlier in the morning and also later in the afternoon, I want to go back and go ahead and focus on what is the most impactful section of the draft, which is, you know, barring something unforeseen, the beginning of the draft. That's not a horribly far-fetched thing to believe. And so I want to take you back to what Brett Veach said on Friday night after the Chiefs made their picks of Mecole Hardman, the receiver out of Georgia, Juan Thornhill, the safety out of Virginia, and Colin Saunders, the defensive tackle out of Western Illinois. So here's Brett Veach after the Chiefs made those three picks. You'll hear exactly how highly he had all those guys rated and what I believe to be a very genuine sort of sigh of relief here at the very beginning from Brett Veach, pleased with what the Chiefs did on Friday night.
All right. Well, tonight was a good night. We had a lot of fun up there. And before I begin, I've said this many times, I just want to thank my scouting staff. I get to come out up here and talk about these guys. But the reality of it is, I mean, there's so much work that goes into this. It's a year-long process, and we start back in May, and it goes all the way through the draft. And, you know, we certainly had the outcome that we were looking for tonight, and we were really ecstatic about it. But, again, it really goes all back to the scouting staff I have. I mean, they're just a great group of guys, and they were super excited. Talk about our three picks tonight in the second round with the 56th pick, Mecole Hardman from Georgia. And then we came back shortly after at 263 with Juan Thornhill. And then our final pick of the night, 384, was for Caleb Saunders. And all three of these guys are really, really good football players. And, you know, had you told me before the night started we'd end up with these three players, I wouldn't have believed it because, you know, we had all three of these guys, you know, high twos. And to get two of them into and then to have the Saunders kid fall to three, you know, we were really surprised that he was still on the board. He was a guy that was in the mix at 63. So again, all three of these players should come in here and provide an immediate impact and should see the field soon. Certainly with McColl, I mean, everyone knows about his speed, his return ability. Juan is a guy that can play all over the field. He actually started out corner, but then they moved him to safety. He can play down in the nickel. He can play some sub linebacker at times. He is a chess piece for Coach Spags, and then you can't have enough of athletic DTs and that defensive line. Now we were looking at our 2-deep roster, and you know, you add Frank Clark, and then you add a Saunders, and then an Ogba in the offseason, and Okafor, and Chris Jones, and Derek Nnadi, and Breland Speaks, and Tano, and we looked at that defensive line right after the draft, and we were all smiling. So, again, it was a great night. Thanks again to the coaching staff for their input throughout the process, certainly ownership and Clark and Mark Donovan, all their support they've given us. But, again, you know, credit goes to my scouting staff for their help with that. So, with that, I'll take your questions.
For Thornhill, just defensively, how do you feel he fits in this new versatility that, you know, can go along with secondary that's kind of just rebuilding around him better?
Yeah, so, you know, Juan is, again, very versatile. He can do a lot of different things for you. And we have, you know, we have some really good safeties. And you know, but these guys we have, I think the knack that they have is kind of down low. The Honey Badger kind of said in his press conference, he feels like Superman the closer he is to the football. Armani Watts had a lot of those traits. And Dan is a guy that played down a lot. Lucas is a guy that has some range back there. But I think Juan gives you a true free safety, center fielder. And he has tremendous ball skills and range on the back end. So I think this really gives you a free safety with playmaking skills back there that can take the football away. But he can also slide down and cover some in the slot. And I think he'll be a really good cover piece against some athletic tight ends that we'll see throughout the course of our season.
Why did you find it necessary to trade up for McColl?
Yeah, so when we were looking at the board, you know, I think we were sitting there at 61. And it was funny because we had a lot of action, a lot of phone calls at 61. And we were looking at the board, and again, never going to pass up speed. And when you looked at the wideouts, there were still a lot of good wideouts left, but none that ran 4.27. So, you know, we got approached for, a fifth-round pick. I think it was the Rams, a small move. And the teams that were picking before us, we didn't think that they'd go wideout, but I thought there are a few teams that might want to trade up and get in because we had taken a lot of calls. And so we ended up making the move, and then we came back at 63 and called those teams back that were calling us at 61, and they said they weren't interested in trading anymore. So I think we kind of played those cards right. And then, you know, scouts talk, and sure enough, it, you know, those teams had said they were looking at Hardman too. So, you know, I think we made the right calculated guess there. You kind of see how the board's fallen and how those wideouts are falling.
Andy said he might be the best returner in the class. Did Dave agree? I know Dave does some of the special.
No, Dave had the biggest smile in the room. We actually, there was a few returners. We had Dave go out, and he does that every year. He came back, and he said, you know, McColl he thought was the closest thing to Devin Hester that he'd seen in a long time. So he was ecstatic, and he is. He's by far the best punt and kick returner in the draft. And, again, you know, it's hard to turn down that kind of speed when you have a quarterback like Pat Mahomes. You want to give him as many weapons as possible.
Was there any consideration to trade up and make any picks before you decided to trade up to get McColl?
No, you know, I thought that, and, you know, credit to Brant Tillis and Chris Shea, because they kind of worked the phones, and I'm not as smart as those guys, and they can compute the numbers a lot faster than I can. I'll have to sit there and, like, add and subtract, and those guys will just say, yeah, good value, you know, this and that. But, you know, those guys do a great job, but, you know, the reality of it is at 61 and 63 and not having a 4, the 4 was kind of the pick that would get you a little higher than what you wanted. But knowing we didn't have a 4 and we only had a 5, there's only so – you know, it was only certain level we can get to, unless you wanted to sacrifice 2020 picks, which we didn't want to do. We wanted to really just keep our picks next year. And, you know, there was some talk going back and forth about if you wanted to surrender a 2023rd or 4th, that certainly could have got us a lot higher, but we weren't willing to do that. And then we knew that if we wanted to make a move, the 5th round can only get us, you know, 5 to 6, 7 spots, and that was probably all we were willing to do.
So what's left now?
Yeah, I mean, we'll sit and, you know, listen, as you know, every year there's a lot of late round picks and free agents that make your team every year. And so, you know, the 4th round will be obviously a little slow for us, but we'll just monitor the board and we'll continue to track the guys we like. And this is a unique time, though, in the draft, because once you get into the 4th, 5th, 6th rounds, I mean, teams, boards across the league, they really vary in regards to some guys, you know, we'll get picked in the 5th round that we have free agents, and some guys we pick in the 5th round, other teams will have free agents. So just when you think, well, you know, you don't pick to the 6th round, there'll be a guy that we have on our board late 4, early 5, that by the time we're picking in 6, they'll be there. So the 4th round will be slow, but once we get into the early to mid 5th round, I think we'll start to, our attention will kind of perk up a little and we'll get excited again.
You've got 2 and 6.
2 and 6, 1 and 7, yep. Yeah.
Were you surprised at kind of the run on positions early today?
No, yeah.
Is that kind of what you expected?
No, yeah. Again, that's why I think I started the intro with, you know, the credit to my scouting staff. I mean, the board fell. I mean, you know, just like we thought. And, you know, the corners, you know, listen, we wanted to get a corner. And we had all those corners that went. We had them as second-round type values. And one of the things we talked about with the Frank Clark trade was, you know, where we're picking, we had maybe 14 to 15 guys valued as first round talent, right? So when you're picking 30, there's a chance that if you don't trade up, or if you trade back, or let's just say you know you hold your position there, you might be taking a guy that you have a second round value on. But we had those corners valued kind of right where they went, and we knew when the day started that it would be really hard to get all the way to the top of 2, because as I mentioned, you know, we didn't have a 4th round pick, so the 5th can only get you so high. But the board kind of went just kind of like we thought. I think the one surprise was that Saunders was still available, and we had him kind of right in that mid 2 to low 2 level, and the fact that he fell to 3, we were kind of like, wow. I mean, there was a big gap when we were picking in that 3rd round, and he was the highest name on the board, so that was a pleasant surprise for us, and I know Coach Daly was happy, and Spags was happy, so that was a lot of fun to end the night like that.
What did you expect when you won? Like that aspect you can't teach as far as football history?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great point. I think you guys saw the basketball highlights. I mean, he's just a natural athlete, but he has great eyes and great vision back there, and natural knack to take the football away. He sees things develop quickly. He's able to quickly read and react. And again, aside from that, you know, this is a guy that played corner, I think, his first 2 years, and then they kind of moved him all over the field. So there was a lot in his plate at Virginia, and you know, I think he is a great addition. You know, we have numbers at our safety position, but there's not a lot of like pure free safeties that can come down and cover like Juan can. So I just think the ability to kind of move him around the field was something that was really attractive. And he was another guy too that, I mean, where we got him, what, pick 63, I don't think a lot of us before the night started would have thought that he would have been there at 63 too. So he was a guy that probably fell a little bit lower than we thought too. Yeah. So, you know, at Georgia, they run the football a lot. And so there are some technical aspects that I think, you know, he needs to work on. And, you know, the stats, again, aren't similar to a team, someone that played at a passing offense like a Texas Tech or an Oklahoma. But I think you see all the skills that you need to see. I mean, he is smooth in and out of breaks. He has great transitional quickness. And then he can just run. I mean, really, you can't coach speed. I mean, you can coach a lot of things. And our coaching staff does a great job of getting receivers and getting the most out of them. But at the end of the day, you can either run or you can't run. And he can, you know, he has something that you can't coach. So his ability to you know, take a simple bubble screen, 80, 90 yards is exciting. His ability to flip field positions on the kick return game and the punt return game is exciting. So I'm sure Coach Rudolph will have a lot of fun with him.
That's Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach speaking to the media after the Chiefs made their 2nd and 3rd round selections on Friday night. 2 in the 2nd with Hardman and Thornhill, and then the 3rd round pick being Colin Saunders. They obviously then went a very long time without another pick, and we'll get to those coming up in a little bit. But I'm going to take a break here on Sports Radio 810. Whenever we come back, we'll hear what Andy Reid had to say about all of those guys. Plus, we'll let you hear a few of the best things that happened out at Arrowhead yesterday, and of course, get to everything that happened yesterday in the NFL draft itself and what the Chiefs did in those rounds. So whenever we come back here on Sports Radio at 10, we'll get through a whole bunch more of that. My name's Joshua Briscoe. More is coming up next. Draft coverage is on here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe, and yes, the draft is over, but we are going to be talking about it for the next several weeks and really months in all likelihood. The people that the Chiefs added over these last two and technically 3 days, right, of the draft. But the Chiefs didn't have a pick on Thursday. Used that for Frank Clark, and that's been well discussed, and we'll continue to rediscuss it as we go. But over these last 2 days, the Chiefs have made actual draft selections of rookies, believe it or not. And I know we'll get to the Saturday action a little bit later on. But to be frank, the most important picks for the Chiefs are certainly going to be the ones that were happening in that second day when they had their three picks. So we go back to Friday evening as Andy Reid addressed the media following those Chiefs' first three selections.
All right. As you have seen, we had a couple second-round picks. At 56, we moved up to take Mecole Hardman. And then at 63, which was our second-round pick, we stayed put and took safety, defensive back, corner. I mean, he's played it all, so nickel. Juan Thornhill from Virginia. And talk a little bit about Mecole. We like his, obviously, his speed, but he's more than that. He can play inside. He can play outside. He did both at Georgia. And then he's a phenomenal returner. I mean, arguably the best returner in the draft. And so we look forward to adding him to our wide receiving core. And again, this is somebody that Brett had his eye on from the get-go. It doesn't have anything to do with things going on now. It's just it's a player that he's felt very good about. And the way the board fell, I mean, he was right in position there to do it. And then we, you know, which happens in the draft, you get phone calls from these other teams going, doggone, you jumped in front of us and picked the guy we wanted. So he was also on a lot of other people's boards there. So, and then Juan, again, gives you a lot of flexibility. So Spags will have a guy that can play safety, can play nickel, can play either safety in the box or on the back end and then at corner. So he gives you some flexibility there, and along with Honey Badger, they, you know, give him some flexibility. And then you see what we've done with Sorensen and how flexible he is, playing in the back end, playing in the box in dime situations and nickel situations at the nickel position. So I think two great additions. It was great to see Brett working there along with his guys. I thought they did a tremendous job of maneuvering, and there was no doubt of the people that he wanted, and he went and got them. And so, you know, tribute to him. And I would also put in my two cents on the great job that he did with Frank Clark. I mean, that was somebody that he had his eye on. What he told you is what he did. He had his eye on him for quite a while now, and he maneuvered around along with Eric, who's Frank's agent, and they got the deal done. And then our relationship with the Seahawks has been tremendous over the years, and to work that out where really I thought the deal was great for both teams. So, but my hat goes off to Brett and the job that he's done up to this point, and he stayed up there and he's getting ready to crank on this third round pick. With that, time's yours. Yeah, he's done both. Yeah. Yeah, or both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? He's you really see his toughness on the outside. I mean, he goes by people, so he's not running into a whole lot of traffic. Although he did run some shallow cross routes, which were similar to some of the things we do with him, with our receivers. But the place you really see his grit is in the return game. I mean, he's strong, breaks tackles, and then you get an idea of his speed also, both wide receiver and return.
What similarities do you see
I mean, the obvious would be speed, I mean, and return ability. So, I mean, those are – both those guys have that quality.
It seems like, Andy, your offense is somewhat predicated on speed and obviously using guys in open space. How much of that was a top priority in finding that next skill position talent? How much speed back into it?
Well, we wanted to get another receiver. And so that was something we came in to the draft, you know, wanting. And then you've got to see how the board falls on that and where people go. This just happened to be in a place where we felt, and Brett felt it was within striking distance where he could go up and get him. So, and to answer your question about the speed part of it, I like variety is what I like. So make the defense have to cover a variety of players and blend it and try to work to their strengths and try to be as creative as you can with that.
Coach, did you have a chance at the combine or any of the events or bringing him in to talk with
you? Yeah, no, we had a chance to talk, yeah. Yeah, so, well, he's smart. And everybody you talk to tells you what a great kid he is. You talk to him, you're going to have a chance here to talk to him in a minute. And he's a good kid, a lot of energy. And we're loving energy givers, and both these guys, I think, fall into that category. And you already had a chance to meet Frank, and Frank's got enough energy for everybody in this room right here. So, but this kid is one of those types.
When you're watching those guys in the draft process, and they give you a list of guys you watch, specific traits, not just with Nicole, but just in general, what are the finer details for with receivers to see that they can translate to the NFL?
Yeah. So, well, you want to see how they fit. You want to look at it and then go, how does he fit into what you're trying to get done? And then you look at growth. Where can he be strengthened in his game? Where is he strong in his game? The strength quality of it, of playing the position. In our offense, you better be able to think, and you better be able to do it quickly. Because we're going to move you all over the place. We're not going to let you hang in one spot too long. So that flexibility there, and being able to digest all the garbage that we throw at you quickly is important.
Andy, you talked about Thornhill's versatility. What about to start off with?
I think you'd probably say back end. but he gives you that flexibility. So much of it's match game. And he gives you some flexibility there with his size to play over a tight end. He can play over a slot. You can kick him on the outside, and he can play on the outside. He's comfortable with it. He's got great ball skills. I think that was mentioned on the, you know, by the announcers there. But he's got phenomenal ball skills.
You have a chance to watch Taylor and Deshaun Jackson when they're coming out. Does that kind of match some of the things you saw when?
Yeah, he's got that same explosive power. Now, those two, Deshaun was probably a little bit further along than Tyreek was at the position. This kid here is probably closer to where Tyreek was coming out as a wide receiver. Deshaun was a phenomenal route runner coming out. Now, you've seen the growth with Tyreek. I think you'll see that with this kid. But he catches well. He's got great secure hands, and he can run like a son of a gun. Yeah, you know, we did. Beach can cover all that with you when he comes down here. Talk to you about that.
We won't get a chance with Spags. Just what were his feelings on Thornhill, as in how
he was? Yeah, so Spags loved. He loved the flexibility that he gives you. You know, I compare it to the honey badger, where you're going to get you feel comfortable moving them around a little bit. And so, if you're going to get into a matchup game, you can kind of play that game with these guys. And you know, just as a play caller and designer, it gives you, you know, it gives you a little bit of flexibility there.
Nicole had a few tweets from when he was a teenager that were on inflammatory. Did you guys come across that and did you have a chance to talk
We did. I think he'll talk to you about it. He was a kid and young and probably said some things he shouldn't have said. I mean, kids do that. I've had a lot of kids, right? And I got a lot of grandkids, and I'm sure they're going to surprise me with some things that you don't want them to say, but that's part of growing up. And but he'll address it. I mean, he'll talk to you about it. Listen, you want to see him grow. I mean, you want to see him come in and introduce him, get an introduction to this offense and defense. The way we do that rookie camp, we bring in a whole team, so they have an opportunity to learn and soak in all this stuff. It's just a foundation that we're trying to build with them. And then when they come back for the latter part of phase two there, then we load them up again with a veteran player. So, but right now it's getting used to kind of how we do things and then introduction of the offense and defense and special teams.
That's Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, but you're in Kansas City. You probably didn't need me to tell you that. But that was Andy Reid after Friday night's three selections throughout the second and third round of the NFL draft. You hear what he wants from these three players, what the Chiefs got in these three players. We'll talk about what happened yesterday a little bit as we go. And, of course, we'll give you a little more talk, a little more information from those first three picks. They're going to be a real big part of what the Chiefs are trying to do in 2019 and beyond. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City, continuing with our NFL draft coverage into Sunday and then back into Monday, Tuesday, the rest of the week and beyond. It's going to be a very, very Chiefy time here in Kansas City, and I'm really happy to be here during all of it. I'm Joshua Briscoe. More Chiefs draft talk whenever we come back here on 810.